First of all, thank you to all the sponsors. They all wanted to be anonymous, so I'm not going to tell you who they are. And it should be a zechut for them, and for all of us, and for all of Am Yisrael. Amen. And once again, Lelu Nishmat Rabbi Yisrael ben Harav Masud.
Has the entire amount been covered?
And more than that, as well. Yes. Yes, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. So like this, just want to share with you just a few tidbits, a few headlines about this great person, this great individual, that there is no Jew in the world that has not heard of this person. This person, you know, was a giant person. Started off, he was born in a city in Morocco called Tafilalt to an illustrious family, the Abu Khatsera family. We all know that Abu Khatsera was not their name from their original name. Their original name was Elbaz, and they acquired the name Abu Khatsera. There's a nice story behind it. We're not going to go into that right now. But basically, he was born into this prestigious, illustrious family, Abu Khatsera family. From a young age already, his mother would take him, bring him, you know, put his ears by the walls of the Bet Knesset, put his ears by the walls of the Bet HaMidrash, so that he should hear the holy words. He should hear only positive things and not negative things. We know that we're speaking in the mornings about positive speech. Positive speech is not only important for, you know, to leave our mouths, but it's also important when it enters your ears. It could have a tremendous effect on you in the short term and the long term as well. And his mother knew that very well. Because parenting and raising children, chinuch, does not start when you're a teenager, right? It starts at a young, very, very young age. Very young age. Starts, if you're a newborn baby, that's when it starts. It starts to train your son, get your son used to listening to holiness and keeping your son pure from a young age. Speaking of purity, from 6 years old, and I found all of this, a lot of these points from the website of Hidabrut, which is a very, very chashuv website in Israel. So from a very young age, at 6 years old, when his parents would take him outside, they would already cover him with some sort of head covering, so that he shouldn't even see things inappropriate. We're going to think about these things. Inappropriately dressed women and inappropriately dressed people we see on the street, we see on our phones, they're all over the place, and it's pretty hard to avoid it. But his parents weren't ready to tolerate that. They weren't ready to just, you know, compromise on their son's purity, and that's what they did. At the age of 19, when his father died, he took over the yeshiva that his father used to be the Rosh Yeshiva of. At the age of 19, guys, that says something. Where are we at the age of 19? You know, are we ready to be Rosh Yeshiva? You know, this was a very, very, very chashuv person, and wasn't just born like this. This is a person who spent hours and hours and days and days and days with tremendous hatmada. He was one of the greatest rabbanim in all of Morocco at such a young age. And he spent most of his day learning Torah. He spent most of his day fasting. He spent most of his day, every day, fasting. And most of his days in the week and in the year and really in his life, fasting. He would not eat anything, right? He wouldn't, he wouldn't just go to Golan at 5:45 after the afternoon class. And, after his afternoon class, he would have gone to the Bet Midrash and learned some more. And he probably wouldn't have an afternoon class, 5:45 class. But that's besides the point. But anyways, that you get the point. He was a person who, for the beginning of his life, he hid a lot of his greatness. People weren't so aware of his expertise in halakha and his expertise in Torata Nigla and Torata Nistar at such a young age. He did a really good job hiding it. Every single day, he did not miss going to the mikveh. This person who not only, was raised in a pure way, but he maintained it. Every single morning he went to the mikveh, rain, sleet, snow, or hail. There are multiple accounts of the Baba Sali going, trying to go and dip in some sort of body of water, only to see that the top of it was covered with a layer of ice. And what would he do? Did he just turn around and go back home and say, nah, that's not for me? No, he broke the ice and went to go and dip in the water. That's what he did. As a person who was Moser Nefesh, he sacrificed his own well-being just for purity. As we explained, he did not really enjoy the gashmiut of this world. The Gashmiut for him was Torah. Gashmiut for him was purity. He slept 2 to 3 hours every single day. Fasted most of the day. Most of the days. He spent his days learning, davening, praying, fasting, and also receiving the general public and spending time with them and freeing up some of his time for them, just to be there for them, to pray for them, and to help them and to listen to their problems. What's very well known about him is his miracle making, right? That's, you know, when you speak Baba Sal, when you say the name Baba Sal, the first thing that comes to mind is, oh my God, the Arak bottle, you know, when he covered it with the, or the Machia, or the time that he, with his hands, it was the last night of before that you were able to do Birkat Levana, and it was cloudy outside, and he told his students to take him outside, and the students said, no, it's very cloudy, you're very old and fragile, we don't want you to go down the stairs, and he said, take me outside, don't worry about it, and he went outside, and just like this, with just motioning his hands like that, the skies cleared up, and he was able to say Birkat Levana. We all know all of these accounts, all these miracles, that's what he's very well known for. And those miracles don't just come like that. You don't just become a miracle worker. You don't just wake up one morning and become a miracle. It doesn't work like that. This is a person who needed to purify himself, purify his mind, purify his soul, spend his entire day in complete purity and spirituality and sacrifice of his own well-being for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children, for Am Yisrael. Seconds before he died, he was mumbling certain words that were unknown to everyone at the time. His family members later made it out that he said the following sentence. He said, "Tehe halichati kapara letzarot am Yisrael." He said, let my death act as a kapara, as an atonement for all the tzarot of Am Yisrael, for all the pains and struggles and trials and tribulations of Am Yisrael, is the person who lived his life for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and for Am Yisrael. I want to tell you just a story of just that just brings this out. He had what's called Ahava. Ahava means love. Now Ahava could be brought out in multiple ways. Ahava, love, could be Ahava that we have for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The extent of his uncomfortability and of his Torah observance, the extent of how far he went just to follow the Torah and the mitzvot and to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to do, could only be done if he had a tremendous love for Hashem. Only if he had a tremendous love for Hashem could he go that far. He had such an intense burning desire to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But there's another ahava. And that ahava is ahavat chaverim, ahavat achim, the love that one has for the people around him, specifically the Jews around him. And that ahava, you know, arguably, I don't know if there, since he passed away, I don't know if there ever was a person that loved Am Yisrael, that loved every single Jew like he did. I don't know. I can't confirm it or disprove it. But I'll tell you one thing, he's definitely in the top five. Okay? He's someone... Huh? Lubavitcher, okay, I said top five. I didn't say number one. Lubavitcher Rebbe, of course. Right? But he's definitely up there. He definitely ranks among the biggest Ohavei Yisrael, you know? Definitely in recent history. How much time he spent every single day. There was a line out the door. And he received everyone, not with an angry face, not with a grumpy face, with a happy face, with patience. He heard everyone's troubles. He tried helping everyone, tried making miracles for everyone. Rabbis generally don't like making miracles for people. He had such an intense love for all of Am Yisrael. He said, come, don't worry, I'll make it work for you. And also, he had what's called not only Ahava for Hashem, not only Ahava for everyone else, but he also instilled inside of every single Jew Ahavat Atzmam. An ahava, a love for themselves. An appreciation for who they were as a person. An appreciation and an acknowledgement to the fact that they were born Jewish and they are holy and they are special and they are Mamlechet Kohanim Vegoy Kadosh. They are an Am Segula. They are Bnei Bechori, Israel, Hashem's firstborn child, firstborn children. He instilled that love inside of every single person. I just want to end off with this story, really amazing story, that every time I say it over, it gives me the goosebumps. So let's see if it happens again now. So what happened was, again, please excuse me if I'm leaving out some details, some specific details of the story. They're not important for the point of the story. So just follow along. There was an individual, a couple, a father, a mother, and a daughter, that the father unfortunately experienced this very sudden and tragic illness that made his whole body tremble. It was some sort of disease on his muscles, and unfortunately his condition was deteriorating very, very quickly. They took him to the doctors in Israel. A doctor said, "We have absolutely no clue what this is. We've never seen this before. We don't know what to do. We don't know what the cause is. We don't know what the cure is. We don't even know who to send you to. Come back in a week and hopefully we'll have some more details for you." Said, they called back in a week. "Yeah, we really don't know anything about it. We'll tell you it's a long shot, but we don't know. But there's this hospital in New York that specializes in muscle treatment. Maybe they'll be able to help you." Called up the hospital. "Yeah, we can't tell you anything over the phone. You got to come here." Come there. They said, "Listen, we got to take care of him. It's literally deteriorating." They got on a flight. They brought him there. The doctors in America, same thing. Same response. They didn't know what this was. They didn't even know what to tell them. Said, "I'm sorry." And day by day, his condition was getting worse. Flew back to Israel. Went back to the hospital. They said, "Listen, we'll keep him here. You know, he's getting worse. He's not able to walk anymore. He's not able to talk anymore. He's barely conscious. We'll keep him here. We'll try to, you know, do the best that we can. We don't know what to tell you." Said, kept him there for a couple of days. One day, the mother gets a phone call. And the doctor that called her up said, "Please come to the hospital ASAP, as soon as possible. We want you to come here as soon as possible." "Why? What happened?" "We have some bad news for you, unfortunately. We want you to come as soon as possible." Fine, they make it there. The doctor says to her that tomorrow, machar yiyeh hayom ha'acharon. Tomorrow will be the last day. We don't, according to our estimations, we do not see him living past tomorrow. Wow, really? This is all in a matter of weeks that this all happened. She starts crying on the spot. The daughter starts crying on the spot. They don't know what to do, what to say. "No, you got to do something, please. Listen, I'm being straight up with you, I'm sorry, but machar, according to us, machar yiyeh hayom ha'acharon. Yom ha'acharon." Fine. They don't know what to do. They go home, call the relatives. "Listen, we have to prepare for this, we have to go and do the proper arrangements." One of the relatives said, "Listen, did you go see the Baba Sali?" "Ah, Baba Sali, I went to see this rabbi already, that rabbi, they're chiloni, they're not connected at all. We saw the rabbis already. What's there to do? The doctor said, Yom Acharon, finished. No, just go. What do you have to lose already? Go, go, go. Some crazy things happen in this house. Just go." They go. They wait online. The person comes and says, "Okay, what are you here for? What do you want?" "And this and this and this." "Okay, please write it on a piece of paper." The gabbai goes and gives it to the Baba Sali. Baba Sali says, "Bring them in immediately." "But Chacham, there are two women. You don't really see women." "I said bring them in immediately." They go in. He doesn't look at them. He says, "Explain to me what the problem is." And they explain the entire thing. He's over there. They said, the doctor said, "Tomorrow will be Yom Acharon. Tomorrow will be the last day." Baba Yisrael didn't look at them. He said to them, "Are you dressed with sniut? Are you dressed with modesty?" And they said, "Chacham, Kvod Arav, we went to this rabbi, he told us say Tehillim. We say Tehillim. We went to that rabbi, he said start keeping Shabbat, we keep Shabbat. We went to that rabbi, that. We did everything already." He said to them, "You didn't answer the question. Are you dressed modestly or not?" And they said, "No." "Do you want your husband to live or do you want him to die?" "Of course, Chacham, we want him to live. We don't want him to die. We don't want him to die." He said, "I'm not suggesting to you, I'm not telling you that I will pray for you. I'm guaranteeing you that if you and your daughter accept upon yourselves to start dressing with tzniut, but the highest level tzniut, not just, you know, mini skirts, skirts, right? Covering your hair, cover the elbows. If you guarantee, if you do that, I guarantee you that your husband or and father, not only will he wake up, he's unconscious. He'll be doing jumping jacks in front of your eyes. He'll be looking at you, laughing with you, hugging you, kissing you, and everything just like he was doing beforehand. They said, you know, fine, we'll do it. We'll do it. We'll do anything. They left the Baba Sali's home. They went in to the closest clothing store, a Haridi clothing store, you know, religious, ultra-Orthodox clothing store. We need a skirt up until our ankles. We need a shirt that's going to cover our elbows and our collar and everything. We need this, we need that. They gave her something. They gave her a head covering. They both put it on. Okay, is this kosher? Is this, well, the Torah approves of this? The Torah approves of this? Is this okay? Is this okay? I said, yeah. Well, what do you want for my life? Yeah, it's sanua. It's good. Are you sure? Yeah, sedo. They walk out. They go home. They get a phone call. This is all literally in a matter of hours. They get a phone call from the hospital. The doctors in the hospital say, "We need you to come to the. We need you to come to the hospital immediately. We need you to come to the hospital immediately." And they come. She comes to the hospital. They both come to the hospital. The doctors say, "I don't believe. I don't even know what to tell you. Please walk in to your husband's room." They walk in. His eyes are open. The first words that come out of the husband's mouth: "What's wrong with you? Why are you dressed like that?" He sees him dressed with tzniut. What's wrong with you? What's going on over here? What am I? You know, I feel like I'm dizzy. Why are you dressed like that? What is it? Mazeh Purim? What are you doing over there? So they start crying out of joy and happiness and emotion. He said, "Why are you crying? What's going on? Talk to me. What's happening?" And they told him the entire story. He said, "You were like this, and you were sick, and you weren't waking up, and doctor said, Yom Acharon, and we went to Baba Sali, and this and that, and he told us to start getting dressed." You know, he said, wow, he started crying on the spot. They hugged and kissed each other. He said, "You know what, I want to go and see the Baba Sali ASAP. I want to see him immediately. I want to see him immediately." So they go, they take a trip to the Baba Sali, gets released from the hospital, take a trip to the Baba Sali, and guys, this is the punchline of the story, listen to this. They take a trip to the Baba Sali. They cut the whole line, obviously, with a story like that, you're cutting the whole line. They got into the Baba Sali, and the Baba Sali said, "Who are you? What are you?" And he said, "I am that person, you know, my wife came in yesterday, and this and that, and the whole deal." And he said, "Wait, so you were dead?" He said, "Yeah, I was dead." And he said, "Really? So what was happening when you were dead?" He said, "I'll tell you what was happening. It was the creepiest thing. I was in Shamayim. They took out a pen and a paper, and they started counting my mitzvot and aveot. It didn't add up. I did not have anywhere near the amount of merits of zechuyot to continue living. They said, this is a pretty easy calculation over here. He does not merit to live another day." And they took out the pen and the paper, and they were about to sign my fate to death. Until the doors opened up, and this individual walked in that looked like a king. He was dressed like a king. He walked in with a crown and his whole royal attire. And this light shined the entire room. And he walked in, and this individual said, "I don't know who he was, but he looked like a king." He said, "I was a king and I ruled down there. I also rule up here. And I demand that you bring this person back down into the world." Why? He said, "You do what I say." And that's when my eyes opened up. That's what this person said. That's when my eyes opened up. Says the Baba Sali said to him, "So who is that king?" He said, "I don't know. I don't know who that was." I said, "I'll tell you who that was. It was Shlomo HaMelech." And the person said, What shaykh is Shlomo HaMelech to me and to this situation over here?" He said, "I'll tell you. When your wife came in and she told me what the doctor said. The doctor said that tomorrow will be what? Yom Acharon. Will be the last day." And right then and there I closed my eyes and I started going through, I did a filter through all of Tanakh, and I tried searching, you know, like a Bar Ilan search, for the words Yom Acharon. Where is Yom Acharon? I didn't mean that Bar Ilan, but right? There's a Bar Ilan database. Yeah, yeah. But right, where is Bar Ilan's a good place. You know, it's a very good place, right? So he looked. Where is Yom Acharon? Yom Acharon, right? Who said it? We say it. Batischak. Yom Acharon. What's the first part of the pasuk? Oz vehada levusha, right? Vatischak leyom acharon. So he said right then and there, I sent a strong message to Shlomo HaMelech. He said, Shlomo HaMelech, the first part of the pasuk, I'm going to take care of. Oz vehada levusha, what that means is that her attire, her dress is beauty, is beautiful, is modest. He said, that I'm going to take care of. But you confirm and you ensure that the rest of the pasuk will come true as well. Vatischak leyom acharon, and she will laugh at the end of the day. Meaning at the end of the day, there will be laughter. There will not be death. And that's what happens, says the Baba Sali. This all stemmed from his love for Am Yisrael. He's willing to go that far. It all stemmed from that love that he instilled inside of every Jew for themselves. What's pshat? What does that mean? When he convinced people to dress with tzniut, what's tzniut? Guys, what's tzniut? What's that all about? It's because Judaism is annoying and makes us dress in uncomfortable ways. That's what tzniut is? Modesty? What does it mean, modesty? What's behind modesty? Oz vehada levusha. Modesty comes from what? Royalty. Royalty. You ever see the Queen of England, Havdil Elef Abdalot? You can ever see her wearing pants? You ever see her wearing like a miniskirt? You'll never see such a thing. Why? She's royalty. We are all royalty. We're all b'nei melachim. We're sons of a king. You don't dress inappropriately. It's a self-respect that the Baba Sali instilled inside of every Jew. You must have a self-respect for yourself. Respect who you are. You're not just stam a person kushi on the street that walks around with ripped jeans. You're not a person like, I'm mechilata, anyone here is wearing ripped jeans, that's not what I'm trying to do. But you're not a person like that. You're a Yehudi, you're special, you're holy. It's a love he instilled inside of everyone, a love not only for everyone else, a love not only for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but a love for themselves, for ourselves. Is Zechutosh Tagen Alenu Ve'al Kol Amo Yisrael, Amen, Lad Hashem, that in his Zechut, we should all be Zoche, to a good life, to a happy life, a lot of happiness, health, wealth, success in the morning, afternoon, evening, every part of our day. Refuah Shlema to all Chole Am Yisrael. And Hashem, we should all be Zoche to dance with him in the Geula, in the Binyan Bet HaMikdash B'mehera Ve'Ameinu Amen. We're going to sing just one or two songs. Huh? No.